This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
I'd love to take a few minutes just to find out why you're here and what it is that brings you to something delegating. I mean, really? Who would spend 45 minutes there, right? I'll tell you who would. It's people in leadership or who have responsibility who are overwhelmed and don't have enough time to do the things that are on their plate. That's who. And I guess that might mean most of us here. So I would like to, I'll just tell you at the outset here that I would like to make this slightly different than maybe some of your other sessions. So I hope to leave enough time at the end for you to do a little project that you take with you. So I hope you're ready to work when we get there. The most important element of any organization is what?
The people.
It's the people. Let's just be very clear. People. Nothing replaces the created person in an organization. In fact, in the economy of God, the conduit of through which he does his work is people. And it's amazing that you and I are called to be a partner with him. God, what he made, he takes care of. And he wants to take care of his people. And as leaders, it's probably a pretty good idea for us to think about how to take care of our people too, as one of his agents getting his work done. Now, as leaders, and I'm gonna be speaking as to leaders, because you're a leader in something if you're here. You're responsible for some area of something, or you will be. So I'm gonna speak to leaders. But we are genetically predisposed to seeing people as we as a practical people, we see the end product or our ultimate mission or vision as what matters, not necessarily the people getting the mission accomplished. We see the end game, and we tend to use people to get there. But I think it's our responsibility to see our people as the most valuable assets and resources that we steward. We love our people beyond what they do for us, beyond what they get done. We love our people not as disposable assets, but as stewarding something really important that God loves and cares for. Now, we're also called to know the people that we lead. And you know, we can lead only as well as we know the people in our organization. So this calls for relationship. And leaders need relationship at every level of their organization. If we're going to accomplish our mission, we have to have relationship with the people getting the work done. As a leader, I see a lot of what I do is enabling the work. So I'm a school administrator. Forgive me for some of my examples. I think they'll apply. You know who gets the kudos for a really great lesson or their favorite teacher? The teacher. They should. Right? She's so amazing. We're so glad she's here. We don't know what we'd do without her. And who's getting the kudos, okay? It's not the leader. The leader is enabling the work to happen, but he takes the back seat. That's how it should be. So we have to really see the people as valuable, that what we do is enable our people to thrive who are under our care. So our session today is actually connected to taking care of people. I wanted to start there because this is not simply about managing tasks. and getting this person to do that thing and that one to do that one, willy-nilly, whosoever will, let it be. That's not what I'm looking for. I want us to think about this as a stewardship issue. We're stewarding the people God gave us. Now, delegating is a part of caring for people. Delegating responsibility enables those serving in our organization. Part of that is that we see the skill and ability and talent that our people have. That's part of enabling. We actually know what they can do. We know their strengths. We know how they could best fit our mission. I think people growth should be a primary concern of ours. Growing people should be a big deal to us. But how do you get this growing to happen? And I'll just ask you to think back to the times you were given responsibility before you were really ready for it and what that did for you. Y'all have examples of that in your mind? I look back and I'm thinking, what were they thinking asking me to do that? You're almost embarrassed, like, I did that? Oh, no. You ever have those feelings? Probably not. Okay, but you know, you get in these situations, and, well, could you do that in your naivete? You agree, and you do. Why? But you know what? It's a significant growing up time when you're in over your head. Okay? So giving responsibilities, hopefully they're not in over their head, but giving responsibility actually grows up people. So what are you doing that someone else ought to be doing? And what would that person need to do their job well? How would that grow them? How would that help them to blossom? Giving people responsibility coupled with appropriate authority grows up and matures people. When you have to take responsibility and you have authority to make things happen, there's something different about that. I think we need to delegate, learn to delegate so that we don't handicap our churches and our organizations with our own limitations. As leaders, we can't be all things to all people. I don't want our organization to become like me. God forbid. But I could maybe be a cog in the wheel, but I don't want it to be about one person, one way, one approach. And so, many times we limit our organization's growth, and I'm not talking about growing just in numbers, I'm saying growing in quality and growing in what we're called to do and be. We're limited by our own competence or lack thereof. We aren't everything. God gives us people around us to help us accomplish the work. We don't delegate often because we are unsure of why. Why don't you want to give away responsibility? Help me out. Why?
We're afraid they won't do it good enough.
Yeah. And you might even have prior experience that underscores, bold faces that, and makes it go like this. Yes.
Okay. Why? They won't do it like I do it.
Yeah, it's not being done quite the right way. Since we have the right way, it'd be unfortunate if we're done another way. Yes. Why else don't we delegate?
Control.
Control. Be in charge.
Might show you up. It
might show us up.
I mean, they might do better than, you know.
In fact, they likely will.
Uh-huh. Lack of personnel.
Lack of personnel. Okay. No one to give it to. Now, by the way, I want to talk about that toward the end here.
Sometimes we're just afraid it won't get done.
Yeah. And we've watched all these things, right? We sort of know our hearts enough. We've been in these situations. Well, there are two pieces, I think, somehow that we're almost always juggling a lot. One is the people side. We've talked about that. The other is the time side. So you don't have time to get everything done. How about you have your to-do list for this week done? How about you don't even have it? I don't even ask you that. You have your list. You know what your responsibilities are. But are you getting it done? Do you have things that are regularly not happening that should be happening? Okay, yes. So what are you doing about it? What's your tendency when you're in that position? We're talking about time here. So there's not enough time, so you're not getting it done. What do you do to fix that problem, typically?
Take a course of reach.
Take more than that, brother.
Add it to next week's list.
Add it to next week's list. So that it won't get done that week too, right? But that is kind of how we're eternal optimists. We'll create space for it next week. Okay?
Work faster. Longer?
Mostly longer. Right?
Yeah, probably.
We can try to speed it up, but about then, because your margins are gone, the next crisis hits, and that doesn't work out. You can't work fast enough. So any of you ever pull off all-nighters? Or near? Stop it. We're going to talk about all-nighters. So our remedy is to work harder and longer. Okay. Now, is that intuitively, we all know the fallacy of that, right? Because isn't there always more coming on the pike at us? So, I just want to remind us there is only so much time. And if my wife were here, she would say, yes, you ought to be practicing more of what you're preaching. We're working on it. But there is only so much time. And remember that it's not just time that's a factor. It's also the emotional weight of what you do as a leader, as someone who is responsible for something. And that takes energy. Emotional energy that is wearying, and that actually affects who you are ultimately. So let's just take a dive in now. And first of all, I'm going to lean heavily on chapter 12 of this book because it's the most simple thing that I found on delegation yet. And I guess it kind of fits the way I see the world here a little bit. But Mark Horseman, The Effective Manager, it's written by a man, I don't know that he's a believer, but it's just about managing organizations, The Effective Manager. And he, for just a little bit of context there, I really like, he says to be an effective manager, there are four things. We're talking about the fourth thing here. He says you got to get to know your people. It has to do with meetings with people. You got to get to know them actually. In a school context, I try to stop in and ask teachers how they're doing. There's a weekly teacher report that they give me. There's ways to stay connected in. Okay, but you need this some time, one-on-one, and some time that's even reports and things. But something that's just you and them trying to learn who is this person. The big piece here is you have to have people that trust you working with you. And trust is built as you get to know them. Secondly, you have to communicate about their performance, how they're really doing. And that's the feedback loop. We have to talk to our people about how they're doing. People often wonder how they are doing. They wonder if they don't hear anything. Is that good news or bad news? And most people, for leaders, they say, well, no news is good news. They know that if there was a problem, I'd tell them. The other person, the worker, is saying no news is probably bad news. When will the hammer fall? You'd be surprised how many people, when they don't hear any feedback, take the negative route for what's going on. They just start wondering, what is this? And maybe I'm doing a terrible job. We have to communicate about how they are doing. Thirdly, we have to talk. I made a mistake on that one. Ask for more. That's what that should say. Ask for more. And that's the coaching side. As leaders, we should be coaching. We should be saying, hey, You thought about that? What about this? You ever considered? Yesterday, when I was, I overheard a conversation, and have you thought about what that sounded like? Coaching. You're going to ask for more than they're giving you, actually. They're trying to grow. People want to grow. I remember one time, a teacher I hired years and years ago, way early in my career, I said that one of the things that teachers can expect in the school would be that I'll evaluate them several times in a year. I will sit in the back of the classroom. We'll fill out forms, and we'll talk then. And she said, no one has ever done that. 15-year teacher. No one's ever done that. I don't know if I want to teach here. Sorry. It's kind of how we do things. So we talked, and I said, I'm not trying. I'm hiring you. I want you here, but I don't want you to stay where you're at. I actually want you to grow. And so we are going to do evaluations. So she agreed, hesitantly, to join the team. And we did our very first evaluation, and you could tell it was tricky for her. It made it tricky for me. Good teacher. Nothing to be afraid of. Had things to work on, though. And at the end, she said, thank you. No one ever cared enough to tell me how I was really doing. I've taught all these years wondering if I'm really worth my salt. Okay, I think that can go for laity. I think it goes in organizations. People want to grow. Part of managing people is asking for more, helping them to grow, get better, improve, even when they say they don't want to. And the fourth thing is pushing work down. Horstman talks about pushing work down, which is delegation. And pushing work down creates capacity for us, and it creates a lot of possibility for growth in our people. So we're all going to bring different styles to this thing, okay? To the idea of managing people. You're going to have different approaches to working with people. So your leadership styles will not look the same. That is totally okay. But here's what I want to say. What we do as leaders must be two things. It must be able to be transferred to other people. It must be able to be taught to somebody else. And secondly, it must be sustainable. Those two things. Whatever way we do things, our picture for ourselves and for organization must be that what we do, I can teach to somebody else, and it's a sustainable approach. So our focus now is delegation. So part of growing up people, part of caring for people, means giving them work to do, especially work they can and ought to do, that you should no longer be doing. So I'm going to summarize some of Horstman's work here. And so but just because I just think the simplicity of it makes sense, I created the sheet you have here, the worksheet there, is I just simply created that out of this approach, and we'll work on that after a while. So I remember a time when I was 18 years old and our youth group was struggling with a particular issue. And the issue was, you know, we say no to jury duty, but are we really doing anything for the community in terms of community service? In the world's eyes, jury duty is a way to do service. But what's our service? And we seem to be able to enjoy all the benefits without actually doing the work. And that night, it was at a Sunday night activity. That night, in this discussion, it became a big discussion. There was two men there, one in particular, and some of you would even know him. He said, Gerald, we're asking you to figure out what our youth group could do to benefit the city of Hutchinson. Arlen Knisley. And he said, I have no idea what that means, but go figure it out. I was 18, wet behind the ears, hardly been born yet. And I'm being asked, so I'm like, well, what do you do? You say, I don't know, figure it out. And that wasn't really true delegation. But allow me to make a point here. So I was like, well, who do you go to that has their fingers in stuff? Judges do. So, and there's a Mennonite judge of all things. There was a Mennonite judge. Not quite our kind, but a Mennonite judge there. Her name was Patty MacDick. And I said, that's there you go. She'll understand us. Well, she did. So I made an appointment. Walked to the courthouse, went through security. I am 18. I am shaking. Literally. I've never done anything like this. And I walk in and I say, ma'am, here's the scoop. And I just laid it out. I said, this is our position. I know that's your position. She said, it's really, this is a good thing. She said, let me call up the director of the Juvenile Detention Center. I just wonder if there'd be something there. She picks up the phone and and Randy picks up the phone on the other side, and Randy says hello, and I hear them talk, and her eyes get a little bit big, and she said, state of Kansas has not allowed volunteers into juvenile delinquent centers until yesterday. Would you like to have the opportunity? I said, sure. Still don't know anything, right? Then we began doing something that 20 years later, at least it had been going. I don't know if they still go to the detention center or not.
This is starting up again.
Okay. So for years and years and years, this little ministry went. We'd go in Sunday mornings before church, and we had services with young people. Eventually, I became primary contact to help de-escalate suicidal teens that were in that facility, 18 years old. I look back and I say, that is the most ridiculous, preposterous thing ever. And it truly was. But here's what I want to say. It did fit my hand, I think. It was something that I enjoyed. And it grew me up. I could articulate better why the shoes you wear are more important than you think it is. Because I work with the Crips and the Bloods, gangs. And they'll tell you what's important. I got an education I never would have gotten any other way. It grew me up. And I look back on that experience and I say, we've got to grow up our people. Now, I don't know that we need to throw them into the lion's den. I'm not promoting what happened to me. That isn't actually ideal. That's called exploring, and then it just kind of happened. But I do want to say that that is an essential part of having people grow in what they're able to do. Now, I'm going to make one caveat here. I'm not going to talk about task assignments, which that is, a task assignment is asking someone to do a one-off thing. Here, can you do this for me this week? I'm really busy. That's not the same thing as delegation, which is taking this responsibility that includes these numbers of tasks done in a recurring way over a long period of time. That's delegation. That's what we want to look at. So we're not talking about just one-off, we're talking about responsibility. So this is a little bit of a cascade. In this tub, this represents 50 hours of your time. We're going to have 50-hour weeks. For some of you, that's an increase. For a lot of you, that's a decrease in what you actually do. 50 hours. And everyone in your organization has 20 balls. Small responsibilities and about 5 larger ones that take significant effort, energy. And so, does that about work? That's about a 50-hour week. One of these is equal to about 5 of these. And probably most people working for us, or you yourself, you have 5 core responsibilities that take a lot of your time. Then you have some other smaller responsibilities. And so what happens is your board or somebody or circumstances create a scenario by which you have now something additional to put into here. What's the problem?
Doesn't fit.
This also represents what your spouse feels you can handle. Oh. And it represents your body's ability. You really can't pile on here forever. So you have this responsibility. Now, what do I do? So this isn't going to fit. Well, let's think about with three options. Okay, let's just say that. We have three options. And remember, we're not going to go toward more hours because this is what you and your spouse can handle. And you're not going to go toward all-nighters because your body can't handle that. Now, there are those times, to be clear. There are seasons of life. But I'm talking about lifestyle. Okay? Lifestyle. When this becomes normal. So, what we can do here is, let's just give, and you'll be my fall guy here. This is your responsibility, that new thing. Board said you need to create a way, you need to create a different logo and look and feel. It's been 40 years since you looked at it. It's not working anymore. You need to get that done. So I look around and I say, give it to him. Okay. This actually, will that work? It may or may not. Okay? Right? It might. It might be just his thing. But if it's a brand new responsibility, especially one that would be recurring over the next 10 years, it might not be the best idea. You see, this particular ball looks like this to me. And to him, it might look like about this many. Okay, that's part of our issue here. You're in the set. You've kept accumulating. You've kept growing, developing. Your capacity grows. You can do more efficiently. You've got some of this figured out. But new responsibility to someone else isn't always the best idea because we ourselves don't know what the parameters are. If I give him this ball, what are the parameters? What's he trying to do? How long is he supposed to spend? What are we looking for? How is he supposed to get the information? That's all information I have to give to him. So is it a good idea to give him this ball? Probably not. So the next thing we say is, well, I'll just give him one of these, and that makes room. So I give him that one. And so now it's his job. But again, he's thinking that thing, it's a whole bunch. Like that one right there is just a... How will this fit? It looks like a whole bunch of small balls, and then when he really thinks about it, he says, no, it looks like three really huge balls. And so I don't know, I can't do that. In many ways, often, people working under us, what looks to us like this, looks like this to them. Okay? That's the way it works. So what we'll do, the other option we have, is delegate several small balls to create the space. So I will take four of these out. You know, we'll see if we can kind of create a little space. And now we're getting close. Okay, so I've got four of these now to give away. These will look big, right? These will look big to someone else. What will I do to make this work? What has to happen? Don't we all have 5 plus 15, 20 hours? I mean, 20 responsibilities, let's say, and 50 hours? What's this person going to do with something that's coming to their top? What are they going to have to do?
They're going to have to delegate.
Oh, they're going to have to delegate. They're going to have to get rid of something and find someone else who can actually, we'll have to help them with this, and we'll have to
delegate, and at some point, what's going to happen?
Run out of people.
You run out of people to delegate to. Hallelujah. Now we can figure out what we ought to stop doing.
Stop using the same people.
We're going to figure something out, right? We have to get more people. Stop doing something. Something's got to change, right? It's not going to work. That's the beauty of delegation. Each time someone's being asked for something more that's actually going to grow them up, it's gonna work them over, that's good. But at some point, you run out of people. It can't go anywhere else. At some level, you have to actually stop doing things. The beauty of delegation is it keeps our organizations alive and working. What should we stop doing? What we tend to do in our organizations is keep adding and adding good things without adding the corresponding resources that we have to really make it work sustainably. And so we ask our people to do something that they really can't do. We ask them to take on a whole big thing without creating space for them to be able to do it. One of our problems in organizations, there are so many good things to do. We start to become unclear about what our mission is, what our focus is, we run into trouble. Because we keep adding and we never stop doing anything. And I would ask us to be kind of brutal about this. It is a good thing to have to stop doing certain things. Things run their course. That's actually a whole nother session right there. So we're not going to go there. It really is, because everyone has their pet project. Everyone has the stuff that we can't stop doing this. It's been so effective. But if we're going to make it happen, we have to then get people so that we can give them responsibility. So how do you go about delegating? And so briefly, let me just walk through this, and then I'm going to give you a chance to do some reflection. So first of all, when you delegate, here's just the practical five steps you got to do. You got to ask for help. Okay, so you're going to allow a person to say no. You say, I have this responsibility that I'd like to give you. I think you're fitted for this. Would you help? Now, you would then say why you're asking them. Okay? Why are you asking them? So, there's so much to think about there. Let me just say it very, very quickly. So, we look at our people, we say, who could do this really, really well? And we look at what they're good at. We delegate to people's strengths. Okay, something that they already have an affinity toward. If a person hates public speaking, it probably isn't good to put them on the road as a PR person. That probably makes sense. They grow, sure, but they might die before they actually grow, which isn't helpful. So, what they're good at, we delegate to their strengths. Second, what they like to do. What do they enjoy doing? Liking something doesn't mean they're the greatest at it, but they enjoy it, and that means they're probably going to get better at it. And then thirdly, what they need to do. Sometimes we have people that need to grow in a certain area, and sometimes those responsibilities are the very thing they need to go to the next level, to improve, to get better. The best way to learn often is to do. And when you have a task to do, you get some of the necessary skills to get the job done, you've actually grown that person. And then it's what they want to do. So that sense of desire, I'd love to do that. So we're trying to find the right person who can take this on, that wants it, that has an affinity toward it. Okay, once you're going to say, here's why I'm asking you. This is what you bring to the table. Thirdly, you're going to ask for specific acceptance. You're going to ask them to accept responsibility before you tell them all the details. You give them a general version of it, but you don't give them all the details. Not at this point. And they don't have to have all the details to say yes. We've already built trust, right? We're not asking something that's impossible to do, but we need someone who is going to own it. So a sense of saying, yes, I'll do that, they listen very carefully to the details that you're about to offer them. They're owning it. They're not just puppets out there doing the thing. They have to get skin in the game. So when they have to say yes without knowing all the details, it's probably better. People get defensive when you go too early to this and you start listing out all the things they would do. Well, I can't do that. I can't do that either. No way I could do that. So sometimes it's better just, would you take this responsibility? All right, then you describe the task or project in detail. So here's what I do. This is where we get clear about what we do. And here's what I want to say about this. Folks, the reason we can't delegate some things is because we aren't clear what our job actually is, what our responsibility here actually is. And we have to get it out of our heads onto paper so the next person can do it. You see, it is very... when you don't know what you're handing off, you're wary of handing anything off because you don't actually know what that will result in. We have to become clear in our own minds what it is that I'm trying to do. What am I trying to accomplish? What is my responsibility? What are the details? I've got to actually get that. And then we have to address accountability. So what's the deadline? What quality? How often will they report to me? What are they going to have to say? So you always want to look at deadlines with them, what the quality you're looking for, and how often they report back to you. But you are enabling them to have authority in this particular area. You're going to trust them to actually do the work, to do it well, to be a representative. Now, you see, once you have responsibility of some authority, you talk about ownership. You talk about believing in your mission. If you want your people to buy in to what you're doing, you have to pull them in and give them real responsibility. It can be in small areas, but they need real responsibility that has authority to make some decisions. Here, we're going to give you $4,000 to make this happen. You go ahead and write it all out. Get detailed about this. Make this thing, unpackage it for them. All right, so now, we're running out of time here. What I'd like to do now is I'd like to look at this sheet with you, and I wasn't expecting to do all this, but here is a way you can think about this. So make a list of the responsibilities, something you regularly spend time on each week. Make a list of those responsibilities that you have. You're not going to have time for that, you may be good. Some of you are already doing a good job with that. I'm impressed. All right, so you were already writing here. And then here's a way to look at this. Then cross out the core responsibilities, number one, you spend more time with. So in other words, take the big balls and move them into number two. So when you look at all your responsibilities, what are the big balls? The ones that really do take a lot more time, effort, have more responsibility attached to them. They consume more. What are those five? Then, thirdly, take 3 to 5 of these. We'll just say 3 to keep it simple here. Take 3 of these and write those under number 3. What would be good candidates to delegate? What are you ready to pass off to the next person? Someone else should be doing this. Then write the one responsibility you'd like to delegate. So here's what I want to delegate, and here's who I think should do it. Turn to page 5, write out, you have to write this complete sentences, how this conversation will take place by answering the following 5 questions. You see, here's what happens. You tell your spouse, I really need to delegate this, but it doesn't happen. You need a plan. This is part of getting a plan. This is saying, by the way, y'all have job descriptions? Okay, well,
First step is y'all need to get some job description going. Okay, let's start there. And by the way, that's a really healthy process. And here's part of it. A number of years ago, we had one of our staff members, kitchen supervisor, Beatrice King, was killed in an accident. That woman had so much in her head, she was the most valuable. She was an MVP in the organization. It was all in her head. When she died, I went to her grave with her. There was nobody that, we didn't know what to do, where and how and when and with whom and where do you order, and there was nothing there. We have made a concerted effort, faith builders, to let that not happen again. That means we have job descriptions, and here's what this person does. Here's what this person does. When you have that clear, then you say, out of those, here are my five big ones, and then here are some smaller ones, and which of those needs to go to that person? Now I actually know what I'm trying to delegate. Then work being delegated, who will do it? Here's how I'm going to ask for help. Here's why I'm asking them. You seek to think through, why am I wanting them to do it? It's healthy. That's a good exercise. Why do I think Johnny is the right person for this? Then you describe in detail. You address the accountability. Very simple process. Why don't we delegate?
Because it takes more time to delegate than to yourself.
Yeah. What's wrong with that picture? Is that true?
It doesn't scale.
Doesn't scale. It's true on the one hand, but not long term. You're going to keep right on doing it. Here's what I want you to do. You've probably been thinking about something you can get rid of. Why don't you just take one thing you can get rid of in your life. One thing, and I want you to write it on page 2. Under number 1, on page 2, number 3, in the 3 to 5 responsibilities, those 15 small balls, write one thing you could delegate out of your life. Write it down now. You're not sure, you know, if this isn't graded, it's going to be okay. You might change your mind next week. Let's just do a little bit of this. What's the one thing you could delegate? Okay, so someone tell me what you're writing down. What's something you're going to delegate?
Volunteer scheduling.
Volunteer scheduling. It's an ongoing responsibility. It's not just once. It's many times. It's scheduling for volunteers. All right? Do you know who you're going to delegate it to? Write down in your own papers who you're going to delegate it to. Who's the right person? Okay? Now, I want you to go to the last page and go to the 4th block down. Tell them why you're asking them. So write that out. Tell them why you're asking them, why you think they're the right person. Go ahead and put words to it. Now, describe the task or project in detail. So now I want you to actually sit down and start writing out. Just write several things down that this thing includes. So volunteer scheduling, it will include contacting the volunteers. Oh, okay, so is it volunteer recruitment?
Both.
So you're not going to recruit volunteers anymore, this person is?
Right.
How are you going to decide if they're who you really want for your organization? Does that person make the call? They can change your whole organization. Are you sure you should do that? They might get the wrong people on the bus. Right? Okay. But he's asking something big. Do you see how if this person begins to recruit, schedule, work with the community, how in his school, they're going to buy into who we are. They're going to have to know things about what are our parameters for who works in our organization. They're going to have to know a lot of things that you're going to give to them. And when you're done offloading that, they're responsible for it. You have pulled someone right into the fabric of the mission, vision, and values of your organization. They know things about how this works and the challenges and how hard it is to find people and to get them to come when they say and to oversee them and to approach them when they're not doing it right because they have responsibility. But think about the huge ball that's gone out of his mind. I mean, that's a big deal. People's a big deal. Now he has space to do something else. All right, we're about out of time. All right, we went very rapidly here. I'm sorry about that. But it's not that complicated, folks. What I've found is that If you sat down for 1 hour, you could fill most of this out. Okay? You really could. For 1 hour worth of time. And it would take you another hour or two or three to get clear about what I'm trying to do. Like what all is included in this? Does it include recruitment or doesn't? Is there need to, what's the reporting? Does this volunteer recruiter have to talk to me before they do it or not? All those things have to be decided. But when you have those parameters, that person can be entrusted with the responsibility because they have the tools, they have the knowledge, they have the grid work by which to do their work. This applies, I think, to business. It applies everywhere, okay? It just applies. I would really encourage you to use something simple like this, very simple, to say, what am I doing that someone else should be doing? If we care about our people, we'll enable them to grow by giving them opportunities to mature through responsibility and authority given to them. The organization will be better for it. Thank you, and you're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.